If you can imagine with me, the Apostle John, who wrote this letter, in a search plane. And he is flying around. He's the pilot. You're next to him. And he's flying around on the hunt for what makes a genuine Christian. So he's in his search plane, and he's searching for what does a true Christian look like. At the same time, as he's looking for what makes a true Christian, he's also looking for this. What increases our fellowship as Christians with God? So that's the two purposes of the letter. What's a true Christian? And for true Christians, what increases our fellowship, our relationship with our Father? So we're flying with the Apostle John over the landscape, and we see three things over and over again. And if you've been with us in 1 John, you've seen these three things over and over again. A true Christian believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We see that down below. We also see a true Christian lives a righteous life. A true Christian obeys God's commands, and we see that as we pass over the landscape. And then we see that a true Christian loves their fellow Christians. So John's circling the landscape in his search plane, and we keep on seeing these again. Belief in Christ, living a righteous life, loving our fellow Christians. And as John ends his search, he flies in really tight circles in a small plane, and we see it faster and faster. Faith, righteousness, love. Faith, righteousness, and love. And then he spots it. What he's looking for. What holds together faith, righteousness, and love in a Christian's life? What's the one thing that makes them all work? What makes us believe? What makes us love? What makes us obey God's commands? What is it? John spots it in this text. Let me read the first five verses here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So, which means, if you love the Father, you're going to love his children as well. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So John's in his plane, he's making really tight circles at the end of his letter. And we see those three things in these short verses. Faith in Jesus Christ. Living a righteous life or obeying God's commands. And loving one another. All packed in here. What binds those three things together in the Christian's life? I grew up reading the Hardy Boys. I don't know if you did as well. I read probably over 200 of those books, including the original 58-volume series. And if you've read the Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew or any similar detective novel, or if you like to watch the detective TV shows, they are always looking for clues. They're on the hunt for clues. And normally, all the clues begin to point to one thing. Toward the end of the book, toward the end of the show, they're pointing to this criminal or this evil organization. All the clues point toward unraveling the mystery that they've been trying to solve. Or if you've read crime novels or watched TV shows that are more psychological, like they find a criminal, then they try to find out what makes them tick. What makes this bad guy do what he does? Why do they do that? What will they do next? Where will they strike next? And usually it's an event in the criminal's early life that drives their behavior. Being born again, the new birth, is like that. It is the mystery that makes sense of all the clues. Why do Christians believe in God, obey God's commands, and love one another? It's the new birth. The new birth is the one event that explains all the actions of a true Christian, and it shows what they will do in the future. If you are born again, you will believe, you will love, and you will obey God's commands. The new birth holds together all the other elements of the Christian life. The new birth is like trying to get one stick out of a pile of brush. Have you done that before? Like, I want to move that stick from the pile of brush. And you grab the stick, and guess what happens? The whole pile of brush comes with you. Or if you're eating spaghetti, and you try to get one piece of spaghetti on your fork, inevitably, you have the whole plate and meatballs on your fork when you're done. That's the new birth. You try to isolate it? No, you can't, because it ties all the elements of the Christian life together. The new birth is the decisive act of God that makes the rest of the Christian life work. The new birth instills in us belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, love for God and His children. Love for God and His children. And three, obedience to God's commands. Or living a righteous life is another way to put it. Obeying God's commands. And we'll look at those three this morning. The new birth creates in us faith and love. Number one, the new birth creates faith. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's what the King James will say, and that's what the New American Standard Bible will say. If you have the ESV, it will say, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. They're all translating the same verb, which is a perfect tense, which is not very exciting. But the fact is that the verb means this. Something happened in the past, and it has effects into the future up to the present. So something happened in the past, and now it has effects up to the present. So has been born again. Happened in the past, affects me today. That's what the new birth is. The new birth, if you're a Christian, happened in your past. And it has ongoing effects in your life. And the first one is faith. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior from your sins, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, fully God, it is because God did something in your life. We did not climb up into heaven and grab our salvation. Mine. No. God reached down and gave us salvation. It's how it's always worked. Think about Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham was going along, worshiping his idols, and God appeared. God spoke to him and called him. Think about Saul, hell-bent on killing Christians, and Jesus Christ broke into his life. And that's the same with you, if you are a believer. There was one time where you hated God and you were his enemy, and then a moment later, you were his child. What's the difference? The new birth. According to John, not 1 John, but John 1:13, we were born not of natural descent, not of human will, but of God. God's work in your life, saying my words very carefully, God's work in your life, the new birth, is the decisive, ultimate, or final cause of your salvation. God's work in your life, the new birth. The ultimate or final cause of your salvation. And our faith connects us with that salvation. Ongoing faith in your life, if you've had faith in Jesus Christ for 50 years or 70 or 7 or 7 months, ongoing faith shows that God did something in your life. Sometimes we lean too heavily on a person's initial decision to trust Christ. Most important thing today, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that today? If so, that shows that God did something in your life, and that's the new birth. The reason that you as a Christian continue in the faith is because the life of God lives in you. It's not the strength of your faith that keeps you in the Christian life. It's the strength of God in you. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the song or the poem, Footprints in the Sand. And it pictures the Christian life as a sandy beach, and there's footprints in the sand. Sometimes there's a single set, and sometimes there's two sets. And the idea behind the poem is that we walk with Jesus, and then in the most intense, painful moments of our lives, Jesus carries us, and there's a single set of footprints in the sand. I think that's very important. God is with us through the deepest valleys. But sometimes I like to picture it like this. There's a single set of footprints in the sand, and then sometimes there's drag marks. Because sometimes Jesus carries us, and sometimes he drags us, kicking and screaming along. And you know it's true, too. If you follow Christ for a while, you know that we are stubborn. And God is so patient with us. So he drags us along sometimes. And it's his life in us that keeps us believing. So the new birth, faith shows that God did something in your life. What's the outcome of faith in your life? So you believe that Jesus is the Christ. What's the outcome? And here, you overcome the world. That's verse 4. We'll look at that later. If you believe, you overcome the world, which is pretty cool. But we'll get to that later. Number 2, new birth creates love. The new birth creates love for others. In just the same way that being born again creates faith, being born again creates love. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. So if you love truly, it's because you are born again. The new birth creates love in our lives. True love comes from being born again and knowing God. Then he kind of moves on there from there. Look at the second half of verse 1 of chapter 5. The King James says, and everyone that loveth him... So every Christian that loves the Father, it says him that begat, it's the one who gives birth, talking about the Father, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, if you love the Father who gave you birth, you're going to love your siblings, your brothers and sisters in Christ who also have the new birth. So it makes sense if God gave us life that we would love him, of course. And it also makes sense that we would love other people who have the new birth, and that's fellow Christians. And John goes about that. That's very important for him. One of the three things that he focuses on, that we must love one another. I am the oldest of four children in my family. There's three boys and a girl. As you could probably imagine, our house was not always the picture of peace and tranquility, even though we were pastors' kids and missionary kids. Oh, we had our battles. But as a child, the best way for me to love my siblings is what? To obey the commands of my parents. Stop hitting your brother. Stop picking on your sister. Now, remember, three boys and one girl. So the best way for a child to love their siblings is to obey the commands of their parents. Same way for us as Christians. The best way for you to love the person sitting next to you in the pew and to love the body of Christ is to obey the commands of our Father. Look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So how do we love one another? We love God and obey his commandments. Our first priority is to love God. That's how the great commandment goes. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. The way to love others best is to love God the most. The way to love others best is to love God the most. We looked at last week is that God defines what love is. True love is loving others as God has loved us. So we are most effective in our love for one another when we love God first. We are most effective in loving others when we love God first. So the new birth creates faith. The new birth creates love. And then, number three, the new birth creates obedience to God's commands. And we can see this clearly in chapter 2, verse 29. Chapter 2, verse 29 of 1 John, it says, "If we know that he is righteous," talking about God, "ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." So if you living a righteous life, obeying God's commands, it shows that you have been born again. I'm going to focus here on verse 3, which says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome." John defines love for us by obeying God's commands. So last week, this is very countercultural. In our culture, love has been separated from truth. Love has been ripped apart from standards of right and wrong, and love is defined by me. When John says, "Love God by obeying his commandments," he is saying that love is based on truth. And love does act on standards of right and wrong. And love is defined by God. When it says, "Love God by obeying his commandments," love is defined by God. And we can easily see this in parenting. You do not let your child do whatever they want to do. You won't let me to stay up to midnight eating candy. You hate me. Yeah, that doesn't fly. When you're an adult, living on your own, you can do that. It's not worth it, just so you know. You do not let your child do whatever they want. Love does what is best for the person based on truth. And we should have a deep longing in our hearts, not only for us to obey God's commandments, saying, "God, I want to obey your commands," but also to see our brothers and sisters in Christ obey God's commandments, because that's what's best for them. Because that's what God says. Now, maybe it's hard for us to see that obeying God's commands is how we love him. But obeying God's commands is in the context of a father and child relationship. When you are born again, you are made a child of God. So obedience to the Father is a response of love to him, because he has loved us as our Father, and we love him back as a child. So don't think as obeying God's commands in like kind of a relationship you might have with a police officer who pulls you over for speeding, or a relationship you might have with a judge. But think of it as a relationship with a loving Father. People may say, "Oh, I love God. I love God." What they really mean is I get a warm feeling in my heart when I sing worship songs. Or what they might mean is that I generally acknowledge that God exists and I tip my hat to him sometimes when it's convenient for me. Obeying God's commands is the test of love. Our desire, the depth of our desire for God, is shown by obeying his commandments. So, what do we do when obeying God is hard? Do we really love him? It will show when we obey the commands, even when they're hard. But God's commands for the Christian, even though they might be hard, they are not burdensome, as verse 3 says. God's commands aren't this heavy burden we got to lug around for the rest of our lives. Woe is me, I have to obey all these commands. He is our Father, we are his child. It's a delight to do his will. I like to go hiking, and sometimes I need to take Zachariah with me. Zachariah weighs about 32 pounds, and I have a carrier where I get to put him on my back. And I've gone 3 miles with him, and sometimes uphill, and that's exhausting. And in the summer, you're covered with sweat, but he normally enjoys it. That is a burden on my back, 32 pounds of baby. But I really enjoy it. He's my son, and I want him to enjoy the outdoors with me. So God's commands can be hard sometimes. We talked on Wednesday night about how prayer is hard sometimes. But when it all evens out, we love to obey our Father and do what pleases him, even though it's hard sometimes. They're not a burden. Why does John say that God's commands are not burdensome? So he says at the end of verse 3, and his commands are not burdensome or grievous. And then he says in verse 4, for. It's giving a reason why God's commands are not burdensome. He says, for whatsoever, whosoever would be a better translation. So whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So if we're born of God, we overcome the world. And that's the reason why God's commands are not burdensome. So think of the world. The world loves to do what they want. People in the world want to follow their own desires, their own will. They love themselves. People who are born again want to follow the will of the Father. They love him. They want to follow him. So if you're of the world, you don't want to touch God's commands because they're a burden. Because carrying God's commands when you want to love yourself, that is a burden. But if you love the Father, if you've been born again, commands are not a burden. And we overcome the world in the sense that we love the Father and obey his commands where the world does not. When Jesus was on earth, he called out the religious leaders for laying on, the same word, heavy burdens, on numerous and complex commands. Jesus instead called the weary and heavy laden to take, what does he say? His yoke upon you, because it's light. Compared to the complex system that the Jewish leaders made up, Jesus gave simple commands. He boiled all the law and the prophets down to this: love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not that complicated. Oh, it's hard to do sometimes, but it's not complicated. It's a light yoke. It's a light burden. Have you noticed how few commands there are in 1 John, if you studied with us? There's not many commands here. You go to Ephesians, the second half, there's plenty of commands in there. There are plenty of commands in the New Testament, but John is careful with what he does. If you look back at 1 John 3, verse 23, 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. There you go. That's John's command. Believe in Christ and love one another. So this is not a burden. It's not complex. It's straightforward for the Christian to follow. And as we follow the Father and obey his commandments, we overcome the world. We don't follow the world in their pursuit of self and pleasure. We follow the Father in obeying his commands. How do we overcome the world? It says here in verse 4 and 5. It's our faith that overcomes the world. Our belief in Jesus. And where does faith come from? From the new birth. So everything cycles here. Everything cycles back to one main point. The new birth. Faith. Love for God, love for others, obedience to God's commands, living a righteous life, overcoming the world. If you have those things in your life, you have the new birth. That's the main point. So in conclusion, we read this morning from John chapter 3, where Jesus says, you must be born again. Must. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you born again? I do not ask, do you go to church? Do you put money in the offering plate? Are you generally nice to other people? I do not ask if you have a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker on your car. Are you born again? That's what really matters. There is a real possibility in this country that you can grow up in church and not be born again. And that would be awful. It happens. I have heard of pastors being saved from their own sermons that grew up in Baptist circles. That's crazy. But it happens. Because what matters most is God's work in your life. It's a real possibility that you could say that you're a Christian but not have the new birth. Are you born again? And John writes to us to tell us how we can know that we're born again. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you live a righteous life? Do you follow his commandments? And do you love other Christians? Are you growing in these things? If you're growing in these things that John is talking about, it shows the stamp of God in your life, the stamp of his new birth on your heart. If you are not growing in these things, faith, love, and righteousness, shows the absence of the new birth in your life. If you know that absence of love and faith and righteousness in your life, do not lose hope, because you can be born again. John 1:12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. Ask Jesus to be the savior from your sins. Ask him to be your master, the center of your life, your treasure. Repent of your sins and trust Jesus alone as your Savior, and you will be God's child. That's the hope that John gives us in his gospel and in the letter of 1 John. If you receive Jesus Christ, you will be his child. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your work in our lives as Christians. Truly, Lord, we once were in rebellion against you and your enemies, but you gave us life. You gave us life in Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we grow in loving others and loving you and obeying your commandments, that you would impress on our hearts that we truly are your children. So grow us up in our assurance of our salvation. Grow us up in our fellowship with you, O Father. Thank you for this text. Thank you for the new birth. In Jesus' name, amen.